Strange Dogs, an Expanse novella. Written by James S. A. Corey. Read by Jefferson Mays. The day after the stick moons appeared, Kara killed a bird. That wasn't exactly right. There had been stick moons, which her parents called platforms, as long as Kara could remember. At night, they'd glowed with reflected sunlight, like burnt orange bones. And in the daytime, they'd been lines of white, bent behind the blue. In her books, the moon was always a pale disk, or a cookie with a bite taken out. But that was Earth's moon, Luna. Laconia was different. So it wasn't that they had appeared the night before she killed the bird. It was only that they lit up red and blue and gold for the first time ever. Her parents had gotten up from the dinner table and gone out into the yard, staring up into the sky, and she and her little brother, Zan, had followed. Her father stood there, slack-jawed, looking up. Her mother had frowned. The next afternoon, lying in the blue clover by the pond with sunlight warming her skin and making her sleepy, Kara watched the newly glittering stick moon swim through the sky. They were as bright in the daytime sky as stars were against nighttime black. The colors shifted on them, rippling like videos of sea creatures, as if they were a little bit alive. They drifted east to west, high lacy clouds passing underneath them, and Kara at the bottom of the gravity well, looking up into the vastness, like it had all been put there for her to appreciate. The pond was one of her favorite places to be alone. The curve of the forest ran along one side. Thick trees with three or four trunks that rose up into a knot before blooming out in green-black fronds longer than her body and so thickly packed that a few steps under them was like walking into a cave. She could find as much shade from Laconia's bright sun as she wanted, whenever she wanted it. The blue clover beside the water was softer than her bed at home and had a smell like bruised rain when she laid on it. The brook that fed the pond and then flowed back away from it again murmured and burbled in a gentle, random concert with the chirping of the goat-hair frogs. And there were the animals that came there to drink or hunt or lay their eggs. She could lie there for hours, bringing her own lunch and a handheld to read from or draw on or play games on, away from her parents and Zan. Away from the town, and the soldiers, and Mary Tenenbaum, who was her best friend when they weren't enemies. The township was 5,000 people, the biggest city on Laconia, and the pond was Kara's place away from it. She was halfway through her 10th year, but this was only her third summer. Her mother had explained to her that Laconia moved around its star more slowly than Earth did, and then talked about axial tilt in a way that Kara pretended to understand so they could talk about something else. It didn't matter. Summer was summer, and birthdays were birthdays. The two didn't have any more relationship than her nut bread sandwiches had with her shoes. Not everything had to be connected. Kara was half asleep when she heard the soft tramp of paws and the creaking of the underbrush. She thought at first it was just in her imagination. But when she tried to change the sound into music, the way she sometimes could when she was dreaming, it didn't respond. She opened eyes she hadn't realized were closed. Bright blue dots, like fireflies, fluttered and spun in the air as the first of the dog-like things came out of the trees. Its body was long and low, four legs with joints that were put together just a little wrong, like a drawing by someone who'd only ever had legs described to them. Its jaw seemed too small for its face, and its bulbous brown eyes were set at angles that made it seem apologetic. She'd never seen anything like it before, but that happened fairly often. "Hey," she said, stretching. "What are you?" The dog paused. "It's okay," she said. "I'm friendly, see?" And she waved. It was hard to be sure with the thing's eyes set the way they were, but she thought it was looking at her. She sat up slowly, trying not to startle it. Nothing on Laconia ate people, but sometimes they could get scared, and her mother always told her that frightened things weren't safe to approach. The dog looked up, staring at the stick moons for a moment, and then down again at her. She felt a wave of disorientation, like being dizzy but different, and then a twinge of uncertainty. The dog stepped forward, and two more like it came out from the darkness under the trees. Then, two more. On the pond, a sunbird hissed, lifting its leathery wings to make its body look bigger and baring its soft greenish teeth. Its fury twisted face looked like a cartoon of an old woman, and half a dozen new hatched babies darted behind her. The first dog turned to look at the mama bird and made three sharp sounds.
Ki, ka, ko.
The other four picked up the sound. Mama bird swiveled her head toward each of them, hissing until flecks of saliva foamed at the corners of her mouth. The ki-ka-ko cry echoed in a way that didn't match the space around the pond. It made Kara's head ache a little. She levered herself up to her knees, partly out of fear that the dogs might eat sunbirds, and she didn't want to see anything get killed, but mostly because she wanted them to stop making that sound. Her lunch pack and her handheld tumbled to the clover. When she stepped forward, the dogs went quiet and turned their attention toward her, and she had the sense that maybe she was dreaming after all. She stepped between the dogs and the water's edge. Mama bird hissed again, but it seemed to Kara like the sound came from a great distance. The dogs drifted closer, moving around her like children around a teacher. She knew, in a distant way, that she should probably be scared. Even if the dogs didn't eat people, they could still attack her for getting between them and their prey. She didn't know why she felt that they wouldn't. "You can't be here right now," she said. The lead dog, the one that had come out first, looked past her at the water. Its embarrassed, bulbous eyes shifted back to her. "Later, maybe," she said. "You can be here later. Right now you have to go. Go on. Shoo." She pointed at the trees and the darkness underneath them. The dogs went perfectly, eerily still for the space of two long breaths together, then turned and shambled back into the forest on their weirdly built legs. Kara watched them go with a kind of surprise. It was like shouting at a storm to go away and having the rain stop. Probably the dogs had just decided that dealing with her wasn't worth the trouble. Still, the way it had happened let her feel a little magic. Mama bird was swimming along the side of the pond now, her back to Kara. When the sunbird reached the far edge and turned, she was grunting to herself, the danger of the dogs and the girl equally forgotten. Sunbirds weren't smart. They weren't even particularly nice, but Kara still felt good that she'd kept them from getting eaten. She tried lying back down on the blue clover, but her lazy half-sleep was gone now. She tried closing her eyes, then watching the stick moons and their shimmer of colors, but she could feel in her body that it wasn't coming back. She waited a few minutes to be sure, then sat up with a sigh and gathered up her handheld and her lunch pack. The sun was high overhead, the heat a little bit oppressive now, and it had been a long time since breakfast. She popped open her lunch pack. The sandwich was simple and exactly the way she liked it. Two slices of nut bread, each about as thick as her thumb, with a layer of cinnamon and molasses cream cheese between them. Her mother said that honey was better than molasses, but there weren't any bees on Laconia. Kara had only ever seen pictures of them, and based on those, she didn't like honey at all. She took a bite, chewed, swallowed, took another. The baby sunbirds were jumping out of the water, running on the ground, and then plopping back into the pond, sputtering and angry. Mama bird ignored their little sighs of distress, and before long they stopped trying to get her attention and devoted themselves to swimming and searching for food. Earth birds didn't look much like anything on Laconia, but Kara remembered something about how to treat them, how to share. When Mama Bird turned toward her, Kara broke off a tiny bit of nut bread and tossed it out on the water. Mama Bird struck at it like it was a threat and swallowed it greedily. Later on, she'd puke up little bits of it to feed her babies. Kara had watched them at the pond for months. She knew how sunbirds worked, maybe better than anyone. So when Mama Bird made a noise, a wheeze with a click in the middle of it, Kara knew it was something new. The babies knew, too. They gathered around Mama Bird, chittering in agitation and slapping the water with their wings. Mama Bird didn't seem to notice them. Her head was wobbling on its long, thin neck. Her unfocused eyes seemed fierce and confused. Kara put down her sandwich, a knot tightening in her chest. Something was wrong. Mama Bird spun around in the water, then turned and spun the other way with so much violence that the nearest of her babies overturned. "Hey," Kara said, "don't do that. Don't hurt your little ones." But unlike the dogs, Mama Bird didn't even seem to listen to her. She spread her wings, slapped the water twice, and hauled herself up into the air. Kara had the impression of half-closed eyes and a gaping, green-toothed mouth, and then Mama Bird sped up into the air, paused, and fell. She didn't try to catch herself when she landed, just crashed into the clover. "Mama Bird?" Kara said, stepping closer. Her heart was tripping over itself. "Mama Bird, what's the matter?" The babies were calling out now, one over the other in a wild frenzy. Mama Bird lifted her head, trying to find them from their voices, but too disoriented to do more than wave her head around once, twice, and then set it down. Kara reached out, hesitated, then scooped up the bird's warm, soft body. Mama Bird hissed once, half-heartedly, and closed her angry black eyes. Kara ran. The pathway leading toward home was barely wider than an animal track, but Kara knew it like the hallway outside her room. It only seemed treacherous because she couldn't wipe her tears back, since she needed both her hands to hold Mama Bird. She was still 300 meters from home when the bird shifted in her hands, arched its back, and made a deep coughing sound. After that, it was still. The thick, sackened earth walls of her house came into sight, red and orange, with the rich green panels of their solar array on top canted toward the sun, and Kara started shouting for her mother. She wanted to believe there was time, that Mama Bird wasn't dead. She wanted to believe, but she also knew better. Her house stood out just past the edge of the forest. It had the lumpy snakes lying on top of each other walls that all the first wave colonial structures had. They curved around the central bulb garden where they grew food. The windows stood open, screens letting in the air and keeping out the insect analogues. Even the little tool shed, where Dad kept the clippers he used to cut the vinegar weed and the cart to carry the stinking foliage away, had windows in it. Kara's feet slapped down the stone-paved path, her tears making the house, the sky, the trees blurred and unreal. Zan's voice called out from somewhere nearby, and his friend Santiago answered back. She ignored them. The cool, dry air of the house felt like walking into a different world. Rays of light pressed in from the windows, catching motes of dust. For the first time since the pond, Kara's steps faltered. Her legs burned, and the vast, oceanic sadness and horror stopped up her throat so that when her mother stepped into the room, taller than her father, dark-haired, fixing a necklace of resin and glass around her neck like she was getting ready for a party, all Kara could do was hold up the body of Mama Bird. She couldn't even ask for help. Her mother led her to the kitchen and sat there with her and the dead bird's body while Kara coughed out a version of what had happened between sobs. She knew it was muddled, the bird, the dogs, the babies, the bread, but she just had to get it all out of her and hope that her mother could make sense of it, and then make it make sense to her, too. Zan came in, his eyes wide and scared, and touched her back to comfort her. Her mother smiled him away again. Santiago ghosted into the doorway and out again, curious and trying to seem like he wasn't. Tragedy drew attention. Eventually, Kara's words ran out, and she sat there feeling empty, deflated, defeated. Mama Bird's corpse on the table didn't seem to care one way or the other. Death had robbed the bird of her opinions. "Oh, baby girl," Kara's mother said, "I'm sorry." "It was me, wasn't it?" Kara said. "I killed her, didn't I?" "You didn't mean to. It was an accident, that's all." "But it was in the book," Kara said, "feeding bread to birds. The lady in the park in the book did that, and they didn't die. They were fine." Her mother took her hand. It was strange, but Kara knew if she'd been just a little younger, Zan's age even, her mother would have hugged her. But she was getting to be a big girl now, and hugs weren't for big girls. Holding hands was. "These aren't birds, baby girl. We call them that because they're sort of like birds, but real birds have feathers and beaks. No bird I've ever seen." Her mother took a deep breath and smiled through her exhalation. When life comes up on a planet, evolution forces a bunch of choices. What kinds of proteins it's going to use, how it's going to pass information on from one generation to the next. Life on Earth made those decisions a long time ago, and so everything that comes from Earth has some things in common. The kinds of proteins we use, the ways we get chemical energy out of our foods, the ways our genes work. But other planets made other choices. That's why we can't eat the plants that grow in Laconia. We have to grow them special so they'll be part of our tree of life. "But the old lady fed bread to the birds," Kara said. Her mother wasn't understanding the problem, and she didn't know how to say it any more clearly. In the books, the old lady had fed bread to the birds, and the birds hadn't died, and Mama Bird was dead. She was on Earth, or someplace where Earth's tree of life took over. Laconia doesn't eat the same things we do, and the food that Laconia makes we can't use. "That's not true," Kara said. "We drink the water." Her mother nodded. Water is very, very simple, though. There aren't choices for living systems to make with water because it's more like a mineral or...
Dot!
Her father's voice was like a bark. We have to go. I'm in the kitchen, her mother said. Footsteps. Kara's father loomed into the doorway, his jaw set, his mouth tight. He'd combed his hair and put on his best shirt. He shifted his gaze from Kara to her mother to Mama Bird with an expression that said, What the hell is this? Kara accidentally poisoned one of the sunbirds, her mother told him, as though he'd actually asked the question aloud. Shit, her father said, then grimaced at his own language. I'm sorry to hear that, kid. That's hard. But Dot, we have to gather up the kids and get out of here. Kara scowled. Where are you going? The soldiers are hosting a party, her mother said. It's a celebration because the platforms came on. She didn't smile. We need to be there, her father said, more to her mother than to Kara. If they don't see us, they'll wonder why we didn't come. Kara's mother pointed to her necklace. I'm getting ready. Her father shifted his weight from one foot to the other, then back. Kara felt the weight of his anxiety, like a hand on her shoulder. Do I have to go? No, kid, her father said. If you want to stay here and hold down the fort, that's fine. It's me and your mom. And Zan, her mother said. Unless you want to be responsible for keeping him out of trouble. Kara knew that was supposed to be a joke, so she chuckled at it. Not that it felt funny. Her mother squeezed her fingers and then let her go. I am sorry about the sunbird, baby girl. It's okay, Kara said. We'll be back before dinner, her father said, then retreated back into the depths of the house. A few breaths later, Kara heard him yelling at Zan and Santiago. The focus of the family spotlight had moved past her. Mama Bird was over. She couldn't put her thumb on why that bothered her. The town was half an hour away, down past a dozen other houses like hers. The older houses all came from the first wave, scientists and researchers like her parents who'd come to Laconia just after the gates opened. The town itself, though, came later, with the soldiers. Even Kara could remember when construction Waldos started laying down the foundations of the barracks and the town square, the military housing and the fusion plant. Most of the soldiers still lived in orbit, but every month the town grew a little. Another building, another street. Zan's friend Santiago was 7 years old. He was the child of soldiers and had their boldness. He often came all the way out to her house by himself so he could play. Someday, her father said, the town would grow out around all their houses. The pond in the forest would be taken down, paved over, rebuilt. The way he said it, it didn't sound like a good thing or a bad one, just a change, like winter moving into spring. For now, though, her house was her house, and the town was the town, and she could sit at her kitchen table while the others got ready to go someplace else. Mama Bird didn't move. The more Kara looked at the bird, the less real it seemed. How could something that clearly dead ever have swum or flown or fed its babies? It was like expecting a rock to sing. The babies would be wondering what had happened by now, calling for their mother. She wondered if they'd know to go back up to the nest with no one there to show them when. Mom? Kara said as her father herded Zan and Santiago back out the door again. I need to use the sampling drone. There was a line that appeared between her mother's brows when she got annoyed, even when she was smiling at the same time. Baby girl, you know I can't go out right now, Your father and I can do it. I just need to help take care of Mama Bird's babies. Just for a few days until they're used to her being gone. I messed things up. I need to fix them. The line erased itself, her mother's gaze softening. For a moment, Kara thought she was going to say yes. No, baby. I'm sorry. The sampling drone's delicate. And if something goes wrong, we can't get a new one. But, Kara gestured to Mama Bird. When I get back, I'll take it out with you if you still want to, her mother said, even though that probably wasn't true. By the time they got back from the town, Zan would be tired and hyperactive, and her parents would just be tired. All anyone would want to do was sleep. A few baby sunbirds didn't really matter much in the big scheme of things. Santiago's voice came wafting in from outside with a high, near whining note of young masculine impatience in it. Her mother shifted her weight toward the doorway. Okay, Mom, Kara said. Thank you, baby girl, her mother said, then walked out. Their voices came, but not distinctly enough for her to make out the words. Zan shouted, Santiago laughed, but from farther away. Another minute, and they were gone. Kara sat alone in the silence of the house. She walked through the rooms, her hands stuffed deep in her pockets, her scowl so hard it ached a little. She kept trying to find what was wrong. Everything was in place, except that something wasn't. The walls had the same smudges by the doors where their hands had left marks over the months and years. The white flakes at the corners showed where the laminate that held the house in place was getting old. The house had only been designed to last 5 years, and they'd been in it for 8 so far. Her room, with its raised futon, across the hall from Zan's with his. Her window looking out over the dirt road her family had just walked down. The anger sat under her ribcage, just at her belly, and she couldn't make it go away. It made everything about the house seem crappy and small. She threw herself onto her futon, staring up at the ceiling and wondering if she was going to cry, but she didn't. She just lay there for a while, feeling bad, and when that got boring, she rolled over and grabbed her books. They were on a thin foil tablet keyed to her. Her parents had loaded it with poems and games and math practice and stories. If they'd been able to get in touch with the networks back on the far side of the gates, they could have updated it. But with the soldiers, that wasn't possible. All the content in it was aimed at a girl younger than Zan, but it was what she had, so she loved it. Or usually she did. She opened the stories, looking through them for one particular image like she was scratching at a wound. It took a few minutes to find it, but she did. A picture book called Ashby Allen Ackerman in Paris, about a little girl back on Earth. The image was in watercolors, gray and blue, with little bits of gold at the streetlights. Ashby and her monkey friend Tantan were dancing in a park with the high, twisting, beautiful shape of the Danio Tower behind them. But the thing Kara was looking for was on the side. An old woman, sitting on a bench, throwing bits of bread at birds that her mother called pigeons. That was where the rage came from. An old woman being kind to a bird, and nobody was dying. No one was hurt. And it wasn't even exactly a lie, because apparently she could do that on Earth, in Paris, where she'd never been and didn't have any reason to think she'd ever go. But if all the things in her books were about other places with other rules, then none of them could ever really be about her. It was like going to school one morning and finding out that math worked differently for you. So even if you got the same answer as everyone else, yours was wrong. So no, it wasn't a lie. It went deeper than that. She made herself a bowl of bean and onion soup, sitting at the counter by herself as she ate. She'd half expected that, as upset as she was, she wouldn't be able to keep the food down. Instead, eating seemed to steady her. The quiet of the house was almost pleasant. Something about blood sugar, probably. That was what her father would have said. Mama Bird's skin had started shining, like it was growing a layer of oil or wax. It could stay there on the counter. She thought about taking it back in case the babies would understand that they shouldn't wait, that they were on their own. She hoped they could get back up to the nest. There were things that would eat baby sunbirds if they couldn't get someplace safe. "Fuck," Kara said to the empty house, then hesitated, shocked by her own daring. Her mother didn't allow profanity, not even her father's. But they weren't here right now. So, like she was running a test to see if the rules were still the rules, she said it again. "Fuck." Nothing happened, because of course no one was watching her. And since no one was watching, the sampling drone was in a ceramic case next to her mother's futon. The latches were starting to rust at the edges, but they still worked. Just a little scraping feeling when she pulled them open. The drone itself was a complex of vortex thrusters as wide as her thumb, connected by a flexible network of articulated sticks, able to reconfigure itself into dozens of different shapes. 2 dozen attachable sampling Waldos, built for everything from cutting stone to drawing blood, stood in ranks in the case like soldiers, but Kara only cared about the 3 grasping ones. And of them, really just the 2 with pliable silicone grips. She put the Waldos in her pocket, hefted the drone on her hip as if she was carrying a baby, and shoved the case closed again before she headed out to the shed. Mama Bird and the drone fit into her father's cart with plenty of room to spare. She thought about it, then grabbed a little hand spade, too. She'd use the drone to put the babies safe in their nest, and then give Mama Bird a proper burial. It wasn't enough, but she could do it, so she would. The sun was starting its long slide down into night. The low mist that came from the east smelled as bright as mint, and the shadows of the trees all had a greenish tint against the reddening light. The cart had 1 wheel that stuck sometimes, skidding along behind her like a stutter until it broke loose again. Kara put her head down, her mouth set, and marched back toward the pond. The tightness between her shoulder blades felt like resolve. The forest was mostly hers. Zan played there some, but he liked the other kids more than she did, so he spent more time in town. Her mother and father stayed near the house, or working on the community greenhouse, which wasn't really a house or green, to keep the food supplies coming. She knew what the sounds of the forest were, even if she couldn't always figure out what made them. She knew the drape of a hook vine from a straight one, the call of a red clicker from a green one. Most of the things that lived there didn't have names. Laconia was a whole world, and humans had only been on it for about 8 years. Even if she gave names to everything she saw every day for the whole rest of her life, most of the species there would stay nameless. It didn't bother her. They just were what they were. Common things got names so that she and her schoolmates and the grown-ups could talk about them. Sunbirds, rope trees, toothworms, glass snakes, grunchers. Other things no one talked about, so they didn't need names. And even if she named them, she'd probably just forget. That wasn't strange, though. All names were like that. A shorthand, so people could talk about things. Laconia was only Laconia because they called it that. Before they'd come, it had been nameless. Or if not, the things that had named it were all dead now, so it didn't matter. She reached the pond. A few bright gold streaks in the sky where the last of the sun still lit the high clouds. The baby sunbirds were still in the water, peeping in distress at her arrival. The water was dark already, like it had pulled the shadows under the trees into it. The night-feeding animals would come out soon, scratchers and hangman monkeys and glass snakes. She slaved the drone to her handheld. The control panel was more complicated than she was used to, with half a dozen control modes listed down the side that she didn't understand. She was pretty certain she could do everything she needed with only the basic setup. She just needed to get the babies up out of the water and safe into their nest, and maybe take some food up to them. Do the things Mama Bird had done. Then she could bury Mama Bird, and things would be not right, but the least wrong she could make them. She took the Waldos out of her pocket and compared them to the babies, squinting in the deepening gloom to see which of them looked like they'd be able to hold on to the little bodies but not hurt them. "I'm sorry," she said to the pale, round-mouthed birds as she fit the smallest Waldo onto the drone. "I'm new at this." One of the babies caught sight of Mama Bird's body in the cart and tried to haul itself out of the water to waddle toward her. It was as good a place to start as any. Kara sat cross-legged on the clover and started the drone. It whirred as it rose in the air. The first baby shrieked, hissed, and ran. Kara smiled and shook her head. "It's okay, little one. It's only me," she cooed. "Everything's going to be all right." Only it wasn't. The babies scattered to the edges of the pond and bit at the drone when it came near. When she was able to get a grip on one, it wriggled out a meter and a half above the ground and fell back into the water. Kara didn't want to hurt them, but the light was fading faster now, and she had to get them up to the nest and then bury Mama and still get back home before her parents and Zan. The time pressure made everything harder. She didn't realize she was clenching her teeth until her jaw already hurt. After nearly an hour, she'd only gotten three safely back to the nest. Mama Bird lay in the cart, sightless eyes reproachful. Kara's hands ached, and the drone's batteries were half-drained. "Come on," she said as one of the last two babies skittered away from the Waldo and ran into the brush at the edge of the pond. "Stop it, just—" She reached the soft rubber claw down, and the little sunbird struck at it, biting and tearing with its soft teeth. It wrenched its head around and darted back off across the water, leaving little ripples in the dark water, and then stopping to bob on the surface and chewed its wings as if nothing was wrong. Kara brought the drone in to land beside her while she thought. The last two babies were the biggest, faster than their siblings, and they weren't getting tired the same way. Maybe they were big enough to avoid predators without her. Maybe they didn't need to be in the nest. One of the babies swam near her, chirped and shook its fleshy pale wings. Without the whirring of the drone to run from, it seemed placid in a disgruntled kind of way. Its black eyes shifted around at the night, taking in the forest and the pond, the cart and Kara with the same disinterest. It was so close. Kara shifted forward slowly so as not to startle it. The little sunbird huffed to itself, ducked its head under water, and Kara lunged. Cold water soaked into her sleeves and sprayed her face, but the little ball of squirming flesh was locked in her hands, hissing and biting. She stood up, grinning. "There you are, little one," she said. "Oh, you're a pain, but I've got you safe now." Except she wasn't quite sure what made sense to do next. She needed both hands to drive the drone and the Waldo, but if she put the sunbird down, it would just run off again. The nest was low enough in the tree, she might be able to climb up one-handed and reach it in. She stepped backward, looking through the foliage for a pathway that would work. The crunch under her heel was confusing for a moment, and then horrifying. She yelped, dropped the baby sunbird, and danced back. The drone glittered on the clover. Two of the vortex thrusters caved in by her weight. She dropped to her knees and reached out, fingers trembling in the air, caught between needing to put it all back together and being afraid to touch it. The drone was broken. Her mother's drone, that they couldn't replace because it came from Earth, and now nothing came from Earth. The sense of having done something terrible that she couldn't take back washed over her. The broken body of Mama Bird and the drone building on each other. It was too much. She'd hide the drone, just for now. The case for it was still back at the house, and her mother might not need it again for weeks, months. If Kara kept it here, where she could work on it. If she could keep it safe until there was light, then maybe it would be all right. She lifted up the drone, felt the limp ceramic clicking against itself, the sharp edges where before there had been smooth, round cylinders, and knew that there were shards of it still in the clover. With the instinct of a thief, she carried it away from the edge of the pond. She shoved it under a little bush and dragged dead tree fronds over it, hardly aware that she was sobbing while she did it. It would be okay. Somehow, it would be okay. It wouldn't. When she turned back around, the dogs were there. She hadn't heard them shamble out of the darkness, and they stood there as still as stones. Their five faces looked like an apology for intruding. "What?" Kara shouted, waving at them with one sopping arm. "What is it?" The dog in front, the same lead dog from when they'd been there before, squatted down, its muzzle toward her. Its legs seemed to have too many joints in them, folding together primly. She stepped toward the dogs, wanting to hit them or shout at them or something, anything that would distract her from her misery. She grabbed the shovel up from the cart, holding it like a weapon, but the dogs didn't react. They only seemed embarrassed for her. She stood for three long, shaking breaths, wet and cold and raw as a fresh-pulled scab, then sat down on the cart next to Mama Bird's body, hung her head, and wept. The corpse shifted when the cart rocked, its skin glistening with whatever that death wax was. "I didn't mean to break anything," she said. "I didn't want to break anything. It all just broke, and I... The strange noise began again.
"Kikako! Kikako!"
But instead of being disorienting, it seemed comforting now. Kara pushed the blade of the shovel into the soft dirt beside the cart and rested her arms on her knees. The dogs came closer. She thought for a moment they were going to console her. She didn't understand what they were really doing, until one of them reached its wide muzzle into the cart and took Mama Bird's body in its mouth.
No! Hey, you can't have that! That's not food!
She grabbed at Mama Bird's stiff, dead feet, but the dog was already trotting away, the others following it into the dark forest and the mist.
Wait!
Kara shouted. But the kikako, kikako sound faded, and then, like flipping a toggle, went silent. Kara stood without remembering when she'd gotten to her feet. The sunset was over, full night fallen and stars scattered across the sky above her. The two baby sunbirds grunted in the pond, little noises of animal distress. Her wrists were cold, where her sleeve still dripped. She sank to the ground, lying back on the clover, too wrung out to cry. The sounds of the forest seemed to grow slowly louder around her. A soft, knocking call off to her left, answered by two more behind her. A hush of wings. The angry harumph of the sunbirds that she was still going to have to catch somehow, put into their nest somehow, feed somehow. Everything was terrible, and she couldn't even stop yet. That made everything worse. High above, the stick moons wavered and shone, lights rippling along their sides while they did whatever the hell it was they did. Drunk on her own despair, Kara didn't make the connection between the moons and the dogs. Not until much later, when her brother, Zan, was already dead.